Welcome back to the Life of an Empath podcast. I'm your host, Tanisha Sela from lifeofanempath.com. In today's episode, Issa joins me to discuss our lessons in grief. 2020 has been a very hard year globally, but this year, tragedy rocked our family in a pretty devastating way. Many of you listening are aware that I lost my father this fall, but what you may not know is that Issa lost both of his parents this year. We have done our best to act in strength and to remain connected despite our grief, but the truth is, the world as we know it will never be the same. This is our truth. This is our story. We hope that you can learn from us and be better prepared for loss and move forward with the certainty that no matter what the year is, life is always uncertain. Let's get started. Issa, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Greeting and blessing to everyone. Such a pleasure coming back to the Life of Empath podcast.
Well, we are glad to have you back. I definitely wanted to have you back on the show after season one and season two, right. But I didn't really know what we would talk about the next time we came together again, and I certainly didn't expect us to have such a heavy topic to discuss. So I really do appreciate you being open to talking about this. I don't really know what is going to come out of this, but I do want people to understand what we've been through, because I feel that we are always very transparent about the things that we go through, and I believe that we both have a commitment to helping other people, and if what we've been through can help just one other person, then I feel like it's worth it to discuss it, and maybe it'll be even therapeutic for us. What do you think?
That's right, because our mission in this life is helping each other. Every human being is meant to help another human being in this life. That's what our mission here. That's our purpose. That's why you always need to seek and know what's your purpose in this life. If you're here and you think you're not supposed to help nobody, then don't take any help from nobody. And if you don't take any help from nobody, then you no longer should be here. So yes, we've been always transparent, clear, and share everything, because whatever affects you affects so many other people around the world. But somebody has to speak for someone else in order for someone else to help themselves to get out of the situation they are. Because sometimes you can pull yourself out, but it's much more easy if someone gives you a little hand to pull you out. For that reason, we always need to help each other and get each other out of whatever situation we are.
Right. So we're sitting here and we are just weeks away from the end of 2020, and you know that 2020 has been described as just the worst year ever. It's the worst year, I guess, in our lifetime when you think about how things have been, how we've changed, how we have to interact with each other, how we have to, more importantly, distance ourselves from each other to protect ourselves from the spread of the virus. And as we transition to this, through this global pandemic, it's just been increasingly more challenging. I remember in March, all I heard was uncertainty, uncertainty, uncertainty from my clients. Everybody was calling, everybody wanted to reach out. I connected with so many people because everybody was so worried about things being uncertain. Little did everyone know, we had already been rocked with something that we didn't expect, because we lost your dad on Martin Luther King Day. And we remember that because we were out of town and we were taking the kids to learn more and understand more about Martin Luther King. And we got the news that evening, and it just, I couldn't believe it. It just seemed like it was kind of dreamlike in retrospect.
That's right. I would breathe first. I would say, whew, what a year. 2020. 2020 is a year that the whole entire world will never forget, for the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. We'll never forget 2020, because everybody felt it together. It is a very heavy year, very complicated year. Like you said, uncertain. Everybody get lost in some point. A lot of people lose a lot of things in 1 year. Or should I say in a couple of months? So let's begin with life first, life itself. You know, having family, parents, friends, it's a wonderful thing, because you always feel connecting. And with the connection, you always feel like you're grounded and you never lost. You know where you're going, you know how to go and how to get there. It is beautiful until the beautiness reversed, when you start losing those connections, when you start losing those important people in your life that you felt connected and, you know, being guided by those people. That's when life become really different than you used to see it. Because, as you know, my dad was my everything. You know, when I say everything, means like, you know, as a father, brother, son, friend, best friend, you know, he stand all of these for me. And I used to be always so excited when I just think about going back home. I used to be so excited because I know that I'm gonna see him, I'm gonna hug him, I'm gonna talk to him, and I'm gonna refill my batteries. I'm gonna learn something new. I'm gonna recharge myself. That's such a beautiful feeling when I have that feeling that I'm going home and I'm gonna have those things. And I remember the last time we were talking, it's like he knew that this was going to be the last conversation we're going to be having, because he was teaching me things that he was teaching me in a rush. He was loading me with a lot of things that he was rushing himself to load me. I was like, why he's giving me all of this? He never gave it to me like this. He just giving me a boatload. I was like, why can't we just take it easy? I was thinking that in my head. But this is what he knew, because he knew that was going to be the last time we will see each other again. And then he had to give me everything, or as much as possible. And like you said, we went out to teach and show the kids the importance of the Martin Luther King and why we should remember days and people like that. And from that day, I felt it. Something is not right. Something is just not right. And I thought about him, but I don't want to make myself believe it, because we're having the kids and we're going to teach them something. I don't want to turn that day to something else or something different. So I received a message in my phone that I didn't want to look. If you remember that day?
I remember that, because I knew it then. Might have known it before then, but when we got that message, I felt like we should turn and go back.
Yes.
But, or at least answer it and go back. And you didn't want to do it.
I didn't want to answer it, and I didn't want to look at it, because I felt it that something is not right. And if I looked at that message, that was going to be the end of that day. So I kept the phone in my pocket. I turned it on airplane mode, because I don't want to receive any other messages, because that was a very strong feeling. It's a very heavy connection that I was feeling. Something is just not right. And whatever is not right has to do with my dad. I turned the phone on airplane mode, because I know if something has happened, it already happened. I can't turn it back. Anyway, until we come back and I open the message, it was exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, that was a very, very sad moment for me, because somehow I regret why I don't open the message, but also I think about the kids, and I know it wasn't going to be fair for me to change that day for them. So sometimes a father have to do what he have to do. A father have to teach and learn at the same time in order to prepare the family to be ready in the future. Because whatever a father is doing at the moment, it should be reflecting in the future. It should be what prepares the kids or the family for the next day or the next generation. So, which is, I believe, a lot of parents fail a little bit, because a lot of parents, they don't really prepare the kids for tomorrow or the must, you know.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that preparation, because I feel like when I think about preparation and I think about grief and just beginning at the start of this year when that happened, I feel like that was my intro to grief. Like that was like the basic, you know, the bare minimum that I had really, really begun to understand about grief. And I feel like, I know that you were like devastated about your dad, and all I could think of is, well, what is Senegal without going there, knowing that we are going to see your dad, you know? Whenever we go there, you go see him first, you get us settled first, you go see him next, and then I may see him like the next day or later, you know, after that. But what is going back to Dakar without seeing your dad? You know, that was just my thing. And the sadness and the connection, and really your dad has been your everything. It's, you know, very apparent in your life that it's just been the two of you for the most part. As big as your family is, your circumstances led you two to be deeply connected, and it's just sad. But when we think about that preparation, I knew at that moment that I had no idea what that was going to do to me. I didn't understand what I really needed to do for you, because I had never been in an experience where someone as close as you are to me had lost someone so close to them. And it was really a weird type of feeling. There was a weird energy kind of like between us, because it's like you're my person and you've lost someone so close to you. So like, what am I supposed to do in that space, you know? And I feel like that's one of the things I regret about this year the most, is not really understanding how to show up in that space. I feel like there's so many things I feel I have felt unprepared for in my life, but I feel like preparing your children to experience grief should be the bare minimum, because if everything goes according to plan, your children should outlive their parents. And I felt like my parents didn't prepare me to experience the emotion of grief. I mean, I've had grandparents to pass away, but the last time I went to a funeral service was, you know, 15 years ago, you know? And so I just didn't feel very prepared in that situation. So that was a hard part for me. I know one of the parts that was most difficult for you was that separation from your family and from being there and not really knowing what to choose in that moment.
Right, because it was a very hard situation for me, because you know, as we do it back home, it's like when someone passes away, we don't wait for days to you know, to deliver him to his Lord. We deliver him like as soon as possible. Like my dad passed away in the morning, and then the very evening, they already buried him. So it was like too late for me to even make a decision to go, but also, you know, not being there already, you know, it was already affecting me, but also abandon here my family again to go. That also, I was like in a situation where I was immediately lost. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do anymore. I didn't know what to think anymore. And I was deeply sad that I can't take my kids to show them their grandparents anymore. So it's like the whole world just like fell into my head and then just turned upside down. I was falling like in an infinity space that kept going down. It was just like I was in the darkness.
So how do you, through this experience, and I know that you've lost other people that you felt close to, like I feel
that's right,
that I have a unique experience in that I haven't lost very many people that are close to me as of yet. I mean, I'm sure that will change as I get older, but how do you define grief as you go through it so intimately with the loss of your dad at the beginning of the year?
Yeah. Like I was saying about preparation, I know this is not the first time I lost somebody, but someone this close, this was the first one. And it really hurts me because I couldn't even explain how to feel. You know, I'm trying to be strong, but I knew that I was weak at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to be strong here for you guys, for you and my kids, but deeply inside, I know I felt like that's it. I lost everything. There's nothing there for me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, because five days before my dad passed away, his older brother passed away. And then 5 days after my dad passed away, his older brother's wife also passed away. And then a couple of weeks later, my dad's older sister also passed away. It's like the year was just keep going, boom, 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 on me. Me being way far away from home and all of this happening. And every time the phone rings, something comes up, which is a bad news. It was just like this is something unexplainable. You know, it left me in a very deep sadness. Like if I had a tears, those tears was all came out because I couldn't cry no more, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just like something you cannot explain at all. You have to experience it to understand it, you know. Even though I was prepared for a situation like this, but not on this way. You know what I'm saying?
Not in this way. I think that's very interesting because that all did happen at the beginning of the year. And right. Then in March, COVID, and then everything got shut down.
Right.
And so then we were still dealing with the pain of the loss and the separation, but we also had a very different reality because we were thinking, well, what if you had left? Would you have been able to come back? Or who knows how long it would have taken you to help with the things settle the affairs there. So it was like there was the conflict that was there, like that inner conflict, but also then maybe a sense of maybe I did or maybe we did choose the right thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because right after all of this happened, like immediately COVID situation come onto that. So the whole entire world go crazy now because everybody now in a situation where nobody knows anymore what tomorrow hold for us. So now it's like, okay, I was trying to prepare myself. I was like, okay, maybe I can go later and you know, see the family and take care of things like what need to be done over there. Even though I have a brother over there, but still, you know, as an African culture, always the elder man is replacing the dad and he's the decision maker, mm-hmm. you know. But that kind of changed the situation a little bit because somehow it happened through phone calls. They have to call me, ask me the decisions, and will tell me what they think and what they're up to. And then I will think about it the next day or a few days later. I will call them back and give them the answer, tell them exactly what to do and how to do it. So then they will go with that. It was like a crazy moment. And while going through that, you also lost your dad in the process.
Yeah, but you know what? I did. But what I want to say before we even get to that is mm-hmm. that the amazing thing that came in the space between losing your dad and COVID and getting, you know, the lockdown and the stay at home orders was that mm-hmm. I really remember you strongly encouraging me to settle things with my dad and to get everything right. out in the open, and anything that I had that I was holding that I wanted to talk to him about.
Right. Because somehow I was even kind of harassing you to do that
mm-hmm.
because, you know, somehow this is how they prepare us. Like, don't hold anything behind, like put everything out, talk about everything, settle up everything, because once the person's in here no more, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring them back to talk about things. You're going to be only sitting down with the regrets, which is the lack of this country, because a lot of people, they don't prepare them for nothing. They're always holding things against each other until it's too late and they want to come show themselves into the funerals acting a certain way that, you know, somehow kind of fake for a lot of people. Not everyone, of course, but for a lot of people, they come out on the funerals, they get lost because they don't even know what to do, what to say anymore, because there's a lot of things being piled up behind that they never saw. And instead of learn from that and prepare themselves and their future family, they still kind of get lost onto that feelings. And then somehow they, you know, grieving that in a way that is going to always keep them in some type of deep sadness or deep regret.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. you know, deep sadness and deep regret that they will never get out of. So for some reason, some people, it affects them too much. They end up either doing something that they're not supposed to do, like get into suicide mode or get into depression and you know, and on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reasons why I was in a certain ways harassing you to go ahead and sit down with your dad, settle with your dad, talk to your dad, ask all the questions that you have, you know, tell him everything that you think. You know, I was like pushing you to do that, but I know
that moment
I was telling you that you was even somehow mad, but I was like, no, don't be mad.
Well, it's been interesting, you know, there's been a lot of things that have held me behind in terms of really speaking to my family about some of the deeper issues, and there's been a lot of judgment, a lot of disappointment, a lot of inner and outward conflict, but your encouragement ended up being my saving grace, because I did speak with him and we did clear the air. And from there, he and I had some forward movement, and it wasn't always an outward conflict with him, as you saw, but there were some things that did trouble me about our relationship. And to keep the peace, I did not want to be confrontational about those things, but I did put myself in a position to, you know, grab for some courage, and I did speak with him, and almost too late, but I did, right? Because mm-hmm. that happened in the space between January and March, and mm-hmm. then March everything went down, and because of my dad's health struggles, we did keep distance from him during that period of the COVID, because I didn't want to, any of us to
affect him or affect those.
Right. But mostly him, because, you know, mm-hmm. he was of the, condition. Like, yeah, the vulnerable population right. and whatnot. And so we did communicate easier after that conversation. We did communicate almost daily, you know, after that conversation. And I was glad for the fact that, you know, I had cleared the air with him, because, again, out of the blue, you know, we got a call, a call at like a random time,
call.
Right?
That mysterious call.
Yeah.
And, you know, me personally, I truly appreciate it. You finally take the courage and move on and go talk to him. Because not just that makes me love you even more, but also that makes me free because I know you freed yourself. Even though I know I was pushing you hard, but I also know that that also freed your dad because he wanted to talk. Because your dad is someone who I really admire. He is a very easy person who can understand people very easily. It may take him a little while to observe, which is normal every dad should do. You have to listen, observe, be careful until you see clearly. And that's exactly how it happens between me and your dad. This is how we got this connection because it's not easy for a father to listen to a son-in-law. It's really not easy. Usually it's the opposite. The son-in-law will listen to the in-law, the parents. But he didn't look at me that way. He looked at me like not just his son, but also his friend and also his buddy. And he shared deep conversation with me, and that really touches me deep in my heart. That's why I was like fighting for you to go ahead and talk to your dad. Fighting, like pushing you. I know he was mad after. I know, I understand that. He was, sometimes you get, frustrated or whatever.
Well, it wasn't just that. I feel like there was just a lot of factors, and a lot of those factors didn't make sense. Like, meaning the, my mom and I are just literally polar opposites, and there's always this push and pull, even in the lightest of conversations
That's
between
right.
us.
Yes.
And I feel like that was something that was also in the way, not wanting to create anything with her by speaking with him. And even though they were not together in a marriage anymore, they were still very close with each other, and they shared a lot of things with each other. And I really wanted that to be something separate from their talks at the end of the day about which one of them had spoken to one of the children, So but I am glad that I spoke with him, because when we did get that mysterious call, I felt like in that moment I knew as well. It was a very interesting call. My brother called and basically
That
said that,
mysterious call that I never want to answer. Every time I
never
see
want,
you say
you
that.
got to escape answering that call. So then, we went there to the house, and literally everything was lit up like Christmas with the ambulances and everything over there
Yes.
trying to respond to
And it
everything.
was late. We was preparing the kids to go to bed because the next day was supposed to be school. But usually, like when you receive a call or anything, I'll be like, all right, just say hi. But that night, when you tell me you receive a call from your brother, I was like, that's it, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. Let's go, let's go, let's go. I was just rushing. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
I feel like we couldn't get there fast enough, but as fast as we
Yes.
were going, I feel like both of us had that awareness when we got there. And it's weird because the first thing that people would say to me when they found out that my dad had passed away was, I didn't know your dad was sick. And the thing is, through everything that my dad had been through, because my dad had a history of just illnesses, I guess. He at 38 years old, he had a heart transplant. He was misdiagnosed with pneumonia, and he had actually congestive heart failure. And so he had a heart transplant, and then he had another one. And but at the point that he was when he passed away, it was never how I imagined that it would be, because he wasn't in the hospital hooked up to anything. He was doing fairly well, and I had spoken to him that night, and it was a different conversation. I think my dad and your dad both shared a deep level of awareness, of self-awareness at that stage in their lives. At the end of their life, they had a lot of awareness. Your dad obviously had a lot more awareness because he was so spiritually inclined, and he was so deeply connected spiritually. But my dad did call me that day.
Correct. So, yes, when your dad called you on that evening, and then you guys have that long conversation, and right after that same evening, the same night, your dad passed. How did it affect you?
I don't know. It's hard to explain. I feel like it wasn't a very long conversation now that I think about it. And I was kind of doing it just as something typical that I would do. I was kind of rushing around. It was a FaceTime call, but I wasn't really paying attention to the video aspect of it. I was just cooking dinner and, trying to manage the kids, keep them out of the kitchen. But I did find it very odd. It's like I was speaking of things in the present based on things that I was doing. And I remember, and even in that moment, I thought it was odd that he was like summarizing things. He was happy about, what we were doing. He was happy about the direction that we were taking with the kids. He was just going point by point and summing things. And, I initially thought to try and cut him and try to bring him back to the present. And I think at one point I did one time, and then he went back that way. And I had this conscious thought in my head, Tanisha, just let him talk. If he wants to talk about that, just let him talk. And I did. And I was able to just listen to what he was saying. And that was his version of goodbye. And I was glad to have that, especially considering everything that happened after that, not just with him passings hours later. I mean, that may have been, let's say that was 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, by 8 o'clock we were getting the phone call. You know what I mean? But it was very important, the things that he said and the things that he touched on and his words, because everything that happened after that was just chaotic. I think why I really wanted to talk about this was not just to like rehash the fact that we've had so much loss this year, was but just to help people to understand like what I've learned through this process so far. Obviously, I even sitting down to record this today, I'm thinking, gosh, I'm still learning things. Every day it seems like something new comes out of this, because it seems like it's just like a never ending thing at this point. I mean, I know that it's only been 3.5 months, almost 4 months, but it's just like something new's coming out of this. But the main thing is, I've learned that people are really unprepared for not just grief, but the act of death. And that is something that we have got to stop neglecting. I
That's
feel.
correct, because up to that night, you still was not prepared on that. That's why, somehow in the conversation, you was trying to bring him back to this present, but he in some way he was saying goodbye, because he wasn't prepared to, he wasn't prepared for that. You could have even heard that goodbye somehow, and he was going like step by step, point, per point to tell you that I'm done. I'm going now.
I don't think it was just that. I mean, I think that it's just been so many things with my dad, with the different, he's had multiple heart transplants, two heart transplants. He had the care that goes along with that and the constant monitoring of that. So every time there's a visit, an overnight stay at the hospital or something like that, it's like you get on this alert. And over time, you become desensitized to that. I don't think it was so much me being unprepared for that he would go. I felt like he, and I think that that is what helped me to arrive at a place of peace. I don't think I was unprepared for that. I think that at any time that you lose someone, it's always going to be an instant like shock to you. I felt like me, instead of that surprise shock, I got more of like a numbness that came because everybody else was going crazy around me. So it really wasn't any space for me to have a reaction, or maybe I just don't react naturally like that in grief. You know what I mean? It's such a new emotion for me. Like, I really didn't know how to take it. But when I talk about being unprepared, I really feel like being unprepared for what grief would be like. Like, my mom grew up with her grandparents as well as her as her mom, you know, my grandmother. So it's like she lost someone that was significant to her. When she thinks about my grandmother, who we called Gran, she's very saddened by that. And she'd share memories and stuff like that with us. And I feel like she should understood like the stages of grief that you'll go through. Well, you know, first you may feel like this, or you may feel like that, or, you know, this is how I coped with it. Like there was no preparation for me to say, okay, you're going to lose us. And when you lose us, this is what it will be like. This is what you may experience. This is what you know what I mean? There was no preparation. And also, my dad didn't leave a will. And in that, I feel like he may have been prepared in his final moments, and he has some awareness about the fact that he was going. And it may have been even one of those things that he didn't understand. Like, you know, sometimes when you have a vision, or when you have that energy that comes over you being a spiritual person, you don't necessarily know. You're not connected to that thought. It's just something you feel moved or compelled to say. But I do feel like he wasn't really preparing us for the fact that he would be gone from here physically, by the fact that he didn't leave any final instructions for us. And so because there were no final instructions for us, that very next morning, I feel like the floodgates of chaos opened. Everybody was vying for, this is what daddy would have wanted. This is what your dad would have wanted. This is what we should do because this is what he said to me. Or this is what we should do because this is what he shared with me. And I feel like that's not preparation. And it became this immediate, he loved me more because he shared this with me type of situation. And that's not how we should be showing up in grief. If we have those final instructions, then we've got to change the conversation around the act of the will or your things, because it's just a set of instructions. Like, we have got to be able as human beings to understand our mortality in a way that we are able to articulate what we would want, what we would want our children, even a final letter. You know, I think that because, well, African Americans are notorious for not leaving wills, period. And that's whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. But I think when I think about my dad, it's probably because he didn't feel like he had a lot to distribute. But when you think about everything that has happened and everything that keeps coming out, there's more than you think there is to take care of, whether it is, you know, dividing up a bunch of money, dividing the land, or just how you would want your affairs, whatever those things are, to be taken care of. So I feel like I've learned that preparation for the people that you leave behind, and for, I guess, your legacy, or just whatever, however you want things to go, this is your final communication, and you should leave something so that people understand exactly what you want, so that we're not fighting over, and it wasn't necessarily a fight, but I like physically or an argument, but I felt like people were fighting for position in it. And that interrupted the grieving process to an extent. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I feel like one of my lessons was just the lack of preparation. And I say that more so in that my parents didn't prepare me for or to be without them. And so you have a very different perspective, because I feel like preparation in all things is just more of something that was ingrained in you. I think from both the like spiritual perspective and just life in general. So you may not have learned some of the things that I've learned along the way, because that was just the first thing that I have learned about the preparation. But what's your perspective over everything that's happened, whether it be like from my side of things or your side of things?
Well, first, I will start with you, because the biggest surprise for me was you as a woman, as a mother, as a daughter. Like,
how strong you were to handle all of this. That was really amazing to me, because I've seen in your family some other people who was not strong enough as you being, because you know it would be like more on you to think about being weak on this process, you know what I mean? Mm. Than you being the strongest one instead of being the weakest one, because how close you was to your, you know, to your dad. So that was a big surprise for me, that it really, you know, I'm still amazed.
I think that was the thing that was interesting to me too. Like, I want to point that out, that you touched on that real quick, is that how you see like how close I was to my dad. The other thing that I've learned in this is that people misjudge your relationship to the person that you lose.
Right.
And that I noticed how everyone was crowding and shrouding my brother in whatever he needed because of the fact that they shared a house together. Mm-hmm. But they completely just gave me condolences and moved forward with that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, I was talking about soul purpose in one of my group sessions last month, and I was talking about how people focus so much on the career aspect of soul purpose, especially Americans. You know, American culture is like, what is my passion? What am I here to do? How am I going to impact and change the world? But soul purpose can also be about your, not also be, can also be, but is very much so about the connections in your life, because all humans need connection. That's part of the experience that we are here to learn through. And you never really know what a specific person is for another person, or what that divine purpose is for those two to connect in this life. And I always tell people that's such a good question spiritually, especially working with the Akashic Records, is like, what is my purpose with this person? And I feel like that was so neglected. And because I did have a different reaction than other people in my family about the passing of my father, that it was just assumed that we weren't very close, or that we weren't very well connected.
That's right. That's what gave me the biggest surprise, because like we say in my country, someone can be 1,000 miles away and he's closer to you than the one who's right under you. Mm-hmm. So which shows me how close you was to your dad, even though you guys are not living in the same house, but he was more closer to you than your brother, who was living in the same house with him, you know. So that we say that in my country, like someone can be 1,000 miles away and be more closer to you than this one who's under your feet. So that surprised me about you, and I think you're really amazing. You're really great on that. So for me, I'm not gonna say I don't learn nothing at all, but if I do learn something about it, it's definitely a very minimum, because my whole life I've been prepared. I was prepared step by step for any kind of situation, you know, physically and spiritually and religiously. So the first time I was leaving, start exploring the world, going around the world, that very first time I already put in my head that I may never see my parents again. So right day, that prepares me. If I see them again, it's a bonus for me. It's a, you know, it's a blessing. And thank God I've been going back and forth and seeing my parents. Even the last time we went there, you know, I thought that was going to be the last time I've seen them too, just like every time it happened, you know. That's why when they called me and announced me, that same phone, the mysterious call, when they called me and announced me that, you know, my dad passed away, I was not really surprised. I do have some regrets, because I wish that I've seen him one more time again, you know, at least one more time again, especially with his grandkids, you know, give him a chance to, you know, sit on his, you know, yeah, have a chance to be with them again, you know, at least, you know, one of them have a chance to have that, you know, it was my wish to for the other one also to have the same chance. But somehow I've seen myself in that, because it's like the history repeat itself, because I myself don't have a chance to sit with my grandparents or my siblings. They have a chance, from the eldest to the youngest, they have a chance to be with my grandparents, but I don't have that chance. So,
and that's like, what I think is really interesting, because mm-hmm. I did grow up with my grandparents, so it didn't occur to me. Mm. It didn't occur to me that my children wouldn't have that. And so now they have one grandparent left, mm-hmm. and it is just they will not have the experience mm-hmm. that I had growing up, but they will share in your experience. And so you have a different perspective, and you can help them grow with that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the good thing they have, at least they have some images, because, you know, the life gets more modern and technology advanced. So they would have some, you know, pictures that they can see their grandparents, but I don't even have that experience. I don't mm-hmm. I don't know what my grandparents looks like. You know, all I heard about is how deeply they were spiritual, you know, how they was talking to animals, the birds, and, you know, talk to pretty much everything. They talk to beings that nobody can see but them. But sometimes some people will hear the voices, and knowing that witnesses that they're talking to some other beings that are not presently physically in this world. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a lot of those, which amazed me. Really, I enjoy just by hearing that. But I don't have experience to see them or see any image, any picture, anything that tells me, okay, here, this is what your grandparents look like. So,
yeah. But, you know, in that, it's like you got one perspective. It's like, because they weren't here, you got to know who they were mm-hmm. as people and the things that they were able to do, like their abilities and whatnot. And with my grandparents being alive throughout my life, I just knew them as a child knows their grandparents. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like you don't really know them, mm-hmm. But you spend time with them. They spoil you. They, you know, do grandparent things, you know. So the lessons continue to come. One thing I feel like I wasn't ready for or didn't consider is that, you know, who I was with my dad mm-hmm. until he was gone. So now the question became like, well, who am I without him? You know, I heard something once that said, when you lose your father, you lose your sense of purpose. And so in that way, I did feel like I had that temporary lapse in, who will I become now that I realize who he really is to me mm-hmm. and how he holds this connection to the family, mm-hmm. then how am I connected and how do I go on without that, you know? And I think that's something we should consider before you are doing it after the fact. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I also experienced kind of like a disconnection from all things for a little bit, you know. I guess you could just sum it up to just feeling a little bit lost, but it was more than being lost. I felt like there was a point of just resistance of all things for a little bit. Do you connect with
Yes,
that?
You know, that's a good point, because it did happen to me too. Somehow I was, you know, when I first get the news, I was a little bit disconnected everything, because, and that comes back to the question that you ask, that what you become without them. That's a big question, because a lot of people get lost from that process, and some people it leads them to a very bad situation, either using, you know, alcohol or drug, or even worse, you know, to like try to overpass that, you know. But I think when you being prepared, because this preparation is for everyone, from the parents to the kids.
It is.
Yes. It's not just the parents prepare the kids. It's not just the kids prepare themselves, but both need a preparation. The parents need to prepare their kids to get them to the right path, to the right point where when they no longer there, the kids can be them now and continue to do the same thing to the next generation. But also the kids need to prepare themselves for when the parents are not here anymore, what to do, who they should be, and how they should be. So in order to help the next generation, I think it's very important for both sides to prepare each other. I mean, to prepare, you know.
Because, you know, the thing about preparation is it led me to another thing that I learned, and I feel like I had a tangible view of what weakness really is. And I think to be weak is to be unprepared.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. That's correct. That's correct. Okay, so I think something very important that everyone should pay attention is you don't want to wait until it's too late and you try to do good. Because we have only one life here. Well, in a basic, things are more complicated than that, but I will just say it this way, we have only one life. And once we're gone, we're gone. However, it doesn't matter how many other life we have, you know, for those who believe that and for those who understand that part. But in this life, whatever you don't finish, you're pretty much done. If you have a chance to come back, you still can't finish it. You just have to go to one part of it and try to fix it. But however, while you're here, while you are lucky to be in this life, do what you're supposed to do as you're supposed to. Because if you wait until it's too late, you can't do it no more, because you have to move on. So while we're here with our parents, for those who have parents here, or for those who have parents that adopt them as parents, do the best you can for them. Because once they're gone, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this, and I feel like one of the things that allowed me to be stronger than maybe other people expected is that, like, through this practice of spirituality, I've been conditioning to be in this space of learning acceptance. Mm-hmm. And so my growth circumstances may not have prepared me to do all of the things and check all the dots that had to be performed as we, like, close this chapter, this physical chapter of my father. Mm-hmm. But I have been learning to accept with ease. And because of that, I feel like I was able to let him go to where he's being called and not fight what is. And I feel like that is what I noticed around me. A lot of people were fighting what had already happened or what was destined to happen. And I was able to accept that part so that I could lean in to kind of clean up the aspects that I wasn't prepared to do. And also I've learned, just to touch on what you were saying, to kind of be even more grateful for just who we are to each other. Like, be grateful for whatever person plays an important position in your life, because despite our grief and our circumstances, you know, we're all connected for a reason, and we learn through each other. And as we're learning our lessons through each other, they're not always positive. We learn as we are forced to grow, and that force can be painful. It can be hurtful. It can bring a lot of negative emotions, but through getting through to the other side is where we get that clarity. It's where we get our perspective. It's actually where we gain our confidence. And so we must be grateful even for the worst days, because we still are infinitely connected to these people that we have come into this life with.
That's right. Yeah. I totally agree with that. You know, a lot of people, they talking about, I don't like negativity, I don't like negativity. But every single thing and every single one in this planet is important. From the bad one to the good one, because without bad, you won't know the value of the good. Without good, you won't know how bad is bad. So the bad person, he giving you a lesson of bad things to open your eyes to understand what means to be bad, or what means this is bad, in order for you to improve yourself to be good and do better. So the good one and the bad one, they're all important because we learn from everything. So when you recognize what is the bad one and what is the good one, now it's your own decision to make the choice which way you wanna go.
Right. Well, I channeled a message about grief long before I had ever experienced it personally. And I just want to end on this note because it's powerful in that Spirit is sharing with us what grief is and a bit about how we get through it. Spirit says that grief can be a debilitating emotion. It is paralyzing if you allow it to be so. Grief should always be fleeting, momentary, because loss is the natural way of things. You have life, death, transmutation, and renewal. In everything, there is balance. Nothing ever stays in one form. There is always change. Change allows for new possibilities. Holding on something too long limits those possibilities and often blocks them. Allow love and peace in your heart. You are supported in this change and in letting go of all that is holding you back. You must make this request. And I think that is just so, so powerful. And it gives you something to be grounded in and to help you to accept that no matter how you feel, no matter how your emotions are getting you down, we have to let go with ease because we are grieving just for a moment for that person and they're on to doing their thing. And one day someone will grieve for us and we'll be called to our next mission as well. So I really, really hope that talking about this helps some of you all. I would really, really love for you guys to share some of your experiences with me so that we can continue to prepare ourselves for what's next. I want to thank you so much for joining us again, Issa. Thanks for coming by.
Well, I should thank you because one thing I like really, really about you is you're too nice. And I know a lot of people who working with you, they will never understand you because they won't understand how deep spiritually you are. I understand that a lot of people here go through the books, they think the book is spirituality, but spirituality is way beyond the book because a book is written by someone and that someone may be spiritual or may not be spiritual, but that whoever is writing that book, if he's spiritual, he's channeling some different dimension, different world that messages or images are coming from. And that is really amazing when someone have that ability, that gift. And that's the gift you have. Sometimes you be telling me things that I know there is no way in this planet you can get that from. No book, no one can tell you that. But you're getting it from a world that like, only spiritual people can get to that dimension and tap to that door and open it and get those messages and bring it down here. And everything you say is on those words is accurate, is correct. But I know you're too nice. You say it with a very smiley, peace way that a lot of your customers may not even take you very serious. But you are really amazing. I just want to make sure I tell you that. You know, you're really amazing and you're very deep in the spiritual world. Because things you're seeing and things you're saying is no joke at all. It's no joke. Like what you just said right here is very powerful. And I know you can't get that from books, like trying to, you know, collect them together and make a nice word about it. No, this is deep. This is so powerful. I just wanna, you know, say that to let you know that you are on the right path. And I'm always pleased to join your, you know, invitations, and anytime you invite me, I will be more than happy to share with you and your listeners, you know, whatever experience I have or anything that I can bring to your talk.
Well, thank you so much. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I hope that you always consider me a resource for spiritual wisdom and all things soul level. I bow to you for allowing me to guide you deeper into your journey today, and I appreciate you listening to what I have learned through my experiences. allow me to offer you some action steps that you can take right now to secure support as you are called to align more deeply into your soul purpose and walk more confidently in your journey. Check out my website at lifeofanempath.com to set up your discovery call with me today. Do that now. Follow me at _lifeofanempath_ on Instagram. Screenshot this episode on your IG stories and tell me what resonated today. Be sure to tag me so that I can see it. Or feel free to send me a message so that we can collaborate on how to get aligned in soul purpose and emotional clarity with loving support and guidance. Let's evolve together.